Our text says that Jesus and his disciples are going to Jerusalem for a feast, one of the three regular annual feasts at Jerusalem. But Jesus was not yet ready to go. So he sends his disciples on before him and told them that he would come later. The disciples ask him, "What will we do till you get there?" Jesus said, "I'm not coming yet. You go on." Then he said, "My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready." And he said this in response to their question, what will we do till you get there? Now follow me carefully. Are you listening, sailors? Everybody, right this way, no talking. Jesus and his disciples are going to Jerusalem. He sends them ahead. He says, it's not time for me to come yet. They said, what do we do while we're waiting for you there? Jesus simply tells them, you do whatever duty you see, and you live with whatever truth I've taught you. Whatever opportunity crosses your path to do good, you do it. You just do the things I've taught you, and do the duty that you see and the good that you see to do until I get there. And you keep on doing that till I get there. Now, I'm not going to tell you when I'm coming. I'm not going to tell you when I'm going to be there. But you just go and do what I've taught you to do and everything good you can find to do till I get there. Now, I'll make some observations about that. Number one, they had no special instructions. Jesus did not give them. He did not say, I want you to go there and preach a great revival. He did not say, I want you to go there and teach a great Bible class. He just said, go there. Go to Jerusalem. Just go there. Well, what are we supposed to do? He said, I've taught you enough to do. You know what to do. But what's special? He said, life is not made up of special things. Life is made up of doing the routine thing. I've taught you enough to do. You know what to do. I've been teaching you now. You know what to do. And you know when you see somebody hungry, you're supposed to feed them. You know when you see somebody that's cold, you're supposed to clothe them. You know when you see somebody that's fallen, you're supposed to lift them. There'd be enough for you to do. Just go and do the usual mundane things that life is made of till I get there. Second observation. They could not see, and this is one of the most important things I'm going to say, they could not see the entire picture. And that bothered them. Something is going on, and something is going to go on, and they couldn't see it. They couldn't see all of it. Jesus is saying, you don't have to see all of it. You just do what that little thing you are supposed to do. I think about a man that I talked to in New York City who said he worked on the eye of the Statue of Liberty. That's all he worked on, the eye of the Statue of Liberty. Now that Statue of Liberty is a massive thing. He didn't know what was going on except he was working on the eye. A soldier in battle may not know the great battle plans, but he has one spot. They used to say to me when I was in the army, he said, if you don't know what to do, just shoot a guy that's got squinty eyes. That was not now. Don't you folks, you Filipinos, don't get worried about that now. And you Chinese people, that was a war against Japan. But what if he get lost from headquarters? If you see anybody that's got squinty eyes, shoot him. What they said. And that's what Jesus is saying. Not shoot everybody's got squinty eyes. But Jesus is saying here, if you can't see the whole picture, you don't have to. You just work on your little part of it. Like a lone worker in a plane factory. The airplane's going to be assembled someday. A giant jet plane will be assembled someday. But those different parts of that plane are made in different places. A wing section may be made in Michigan. Part of the engine may be made in Iowa. The fuselage part of it may be made in Texas. The seats on the airplane might be made in Illinois. And then there's an assembly place where that place is assembled. And one person may have one little rivet to place in one little spot on that airplane. And he can't see the whole picture, but he's supposed to go ahead and do the job where he is, putting that one little rivet in, do the job where he is. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying the kingdom of God is not made up of a few spectacular things. He's saying the kingdom of God is made up of everybody doing what he is supposed to do. Not the special orders, but the usual orders. So he said, just go there and do your part, even though you can't see the entire picture. You know, Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose, but it does not say that we can see how all things work together for good. Doesn't say that. It says they will work together for good. Doesn't say you'll know how. Doesn't say you see how. And you may get to heaven before you see how, but I don't have to see how as long as he sees how. You see. So God says, he says, you just do what you're supposed to do. But Lord, we have no special orders. Okay? If you're a mother, be a good mother. Keep a clean house. Teach your children. Be a good housewife. Wash the clothes. If you're a father, do your work. Make a good living. Be good to your neighbors. Pay your honest debts. If you're a teacher, teach your class. Teach them integrity. Teach them honor. Teach them character. Teach them truth. Just look. You got a whole book of stuff to do. You don't have to get orders from headquarters every day. And if you never get orders again from headquarters, wherever you are, you've got plenty to keep you busy the rest of your life. That's what Jesus is saying. He's magnifying that which we minimize and minimizing that which we magnify. They said, but Lord, you told us to go to Jerusalem. Why? They were wanting to see the whole spectrum of the whole picture. And our Lord says, you don't have to do that. You just be kind to the next person you meet on the street. You just feed the next hungry body you see. You lift the next fallen one you see. Encourage the next discouraged one you see. He says, do the things, the duties that cross your path, the menial, mundane tasks that cross your path, and do the things that I've taught you to do already. And he said, that's enough. And if I never come to you with any great commands from headquarters, you've got enough to keep you busy until you face the God who made you. Observation number one, I said they had no special instructions. That bothered them. Observation number two, I said they couldn't see the entire picture. They couldn't see how their part fit into the entire plan. But that doesn't matter. Number three, observation, they were to do the routine things he had told them and taught them to do. Now you listen to me. You may not see what he is doing, but you can see what you are to do. That's all you got to see. God doesn't listen. I was driving down the street the other day, coming to work. In fact, one of our men I saw while I was there. I was driving down Holman Avenue, coming to work, about 7:15 in the morning. Drove past just before you get to Riverside Park, coming north there where the Hammond School Administration Building is, right in front of that building. Looked over and saw a woman writhing on the sidewalk, just wiggling on the sidewalk. And I guess there must have been 25 cars in front of me. Nobody stopped. Why? Because this old wicked world doesn't want to get involved. So I pulled over side of the road, walked up there, and she was walking to St. Margaret's Hospital to work, and she just lost her footing and fell, and obviously had broken something, and she was just writhing in pain there on the sidewalk. Now, I didn't have to say, oh, God, am I supposed to help that woman? No. Every day I pray 7 times a day this prayer. Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you today, and I pray you to help me to cross the path of those whom Jesus would help if he walked in my shoes today. Now, well, how do I know who to help? Whoever you find in trouble, that's who you're supposed to help. How do I know what to do? The task is before you. Well, how do I know what to do? You got the dirty dishes at home? Wash them. Men? I mean, have you got a bed unmade? Make it. You got dirty floor? Sweep them. You got a yard that's grown up in the front? Have your wife mow it. Yeah, they'll start a rescue mission, so they'll do it. But look, God is not looking for people waiting for great orders for great duties. God is looking for people who do the take the opportunities before them and do what they're supposed to do and do what God has taught. God said, be kind. Be you kind one to another. Lord, what taught your will for my life? Well, while you're waiting on it, be you kind one to another. Lord, where do you want me to go? Well, while you're waiting on it, grudge not. Lord, what you want me to do? I won't know where you want, what you want for my life. The big purpose of my life. God said, if I never tell you a big purpose, wherever you are, you obey the instructions of this book. And you help everybody whose paths you cross. So he hasn't come yet. There they are, what they're supposed to do. I want to talk to you this morning about your situation. So he hasn't come yet to give you your next orders. But you do have a book full of instructions. You do have people who need you. So you can work. You can cook. You can sew. You can teach your Sunday school class. You can pay your debts. You can encourage folks. The other day I got a wonderful letter from Brother Larry Haygood, one of our men. Brother Haygood said, Brother Howells, I won a man to Christ just a day or two ago, recently. One of the ladies in our soul-winning group had won his wife to Christ, and I went over to win him to Christ, tried to. And he said, it's very easy to win. And he said, here's why. He said, years ago, he or his wife or somebody worked in a certain establishment in town. And one of the members of the church here went into that establishment, never sat down, that member went in. Said the whole place was brightened and cheered because that person went in there. He said then that this is the same couple now, get it, the same couple, driving down a rural road out south Lake County, and they had the car went bad. And they were a long ways from any place, and so got out and walked and came to a farmhouse. Knocked on the door to see if they could make a phone call or something. But the man who lived in that house was a mechanic and a member of First Baptist Church of Hammond. And that man got out, went down to the car, and was so nice and helped them. That man's a deacon in our church right now. And they said, my, this fellow who encouraged our hearts at the place where a business, and now a member of the church, First Baptist, and now this fellow who got out and fixed our car and helped us, remember First Baptist? And then they said, he said, I think he said his wife got sick. Went to a doctor. The doctor said he wouldn't take her because she had no hospitalization. Went to another doctor. Nobody would take her because she had no hospitalization. So, you know, I wonder sometimes, what's doctors for? What are they for? Make money? Yeah. Wouldn't give you a dime, that kind of doctor. Somebody needs some help and hadn't got a dime and never pays you a dime. You're supposed to help them. Everybody's supposed to be a good Samaritan. Oh, by the way, this doctor, somebody said, there's a certain doctor that I believe will take you even though you don't have insurance. They told him about this doctor. They went to see him. He said, sure, I'll take you even though you don't have insurance. And they said, we found out that doctor was a member of First Baptist Church in Hammond. And Larry Haygood said it was no problem to win that man to Christ. Why? Because three people had gone about their mundane work, and while when they came across the path of somebody that needed them, they did their job, and he said no problem, and a couple got saved. Why? Because one man cheered the folks in the place of business, and one man got out and helped them fix their car, and a doctor wasn't a money-grabbing they're not say it. The mixed crowd. And all three members of First Baptist Church. Ladies and gentlemen, This world doesn't need more evangelists. This world needs more Christian people to do the things that God's told them to do and help the people whose paths they cross. That's what he's saying. But Lord, we are apostles. You have called us to win the world. He said, okay, between now and the time you win the world, and I'll tell you where to go and when to start, he said, you just go to Jerusalem, and you just help everybody whose path you cross and obey what I've already taught you to obey. So the Lord hasn't come yet to give you the next order. We have some Howells Anderson College graduates sitting here, have won a soul since you graduated, waiting for some church to call you, and I hope you're rotten here. As soon as you got out of college, you quit soul winning. And you quit doing anything for God, just sitting here waiting for somebody to call you. God doesn't need people to do big things who don't do little things. God doesn't need people to step over this book to get the next big command from God. So he hasn't come yet. He said, okay, I've got some things for you to do. If he never comes, you're supposed to keep on doing them. Not only has he not come yet to give you the next orders, but to many of you, he's not come yet to deliver you. You labor under the same burden under which you've labored for years. You fight the same battle and face the same opposition you faced for years. You carry the same load you've carried for years. You know he's going to come. Someday lift the load. Someday lift the burden. Someday come to help you and give the victory. But he hasn't come yet. Your heart is broken. When will I lose this burden I carry? When will I win this battle I'm fighting? When will I have this hurt removed that I feel? When? Lord, when? The Lord said, I'm coming. But he said, while I'm coming, I want you to do the menial task. I want you to be a good citizen. I want you to be a good neighbor. I want you to pay your debts. I want you to be kind. I want you to work hard at the job where you are now. And God said, until I give you something, I come to deliver you. Till I come to give you the victory and lift the burden. And I hate to say this, folks, but it just may be that burden won't ever be lifted. It just may be you'll go to your grave with that same hurt you have this morning. But it doesn't matter. I mean, he's my God. And whatever he wants me to have, I'll have it. Whatever burden he wants me to bear, I'll bear it. Whatever load he wants me to carry, I'll carry it. Whatever hurt he wants me to feel, I'll feel it. He's my God. He's perfect. He's God. He's omniscient. He knows everything. Let him do what he wants to do. I'll just do what I'm supposed to do till he gets here. That's what God is saying. Don't you sit around and whine. God didn't say whine till I get there. God said do your duty till I get there. You have a set of instructions and people that need you, and that's enough. I was thinking about this message, how many opportunities God puts before people who'll fulfill them. Somebody said, well, you're always finding somebody laying on the sidewalk. I never find anybody laying on the sidewalk. Two things. First place, you're not looking for anybody laying on the sidewalk. Second place, you wouldn't stop if you found anybody laying on the sidewalk. So God didn't let you see anybody laying on the sidewalk. That's what it is. I mean, God knows who's going to help somebody. And I got to thinking, just coming to work. I got to think of how that one little thing, just driving to work in the morning. I always pray this prayer every morning. Holy Spirit, help me to know what route I ought to take to work every morning. Help me to know what route I ought to take to work. And I don't take the same route all the time. I prayed that prayer one morning. Drove down two blocks from my house in the corner of Broadmoor and Shriver. There was a lady car stopped. I got out and said, ma'am, can I push you to a service station? She said, oh, it'd be wonderful. I said, I'll be there to push you to wherever you trade. She said, well, that'd be wonderful. So I got behind her car and put, she said, well, the house, wouldn't that put a dent in your bumper? Well, I wouldn't hurt my bumper if it did. I found a car drives just as well the dented bumper as it does without a dented bumper. So I pushed her down Broadmoor, and I thought maybe she'd stop on Calumet and Broadmoor there. You know, there's Shell Station there on the left, close to the Montgomery Ward Shopping Center. She kept on going. We turned right there on Calumet, and I thought, well, just over the bridge there on Calumet and 175th and 173rd, there's some stations there. We got there, and she kept on going. I thought, well, up here on 172nd, 169th, 165th, there's some stations there. She kept on going. She turned left on 165th. Well, I said, there's a station on 165th and Holman, that's the one she's going to. We got there. She kept on going. Do you know I pushed that woman all the way to River Oaks Drive in Calumet City? That's just coming to work. I was coming to work one morning. Asked the Holy Spirit, Lord, Holy Spirit, help me to know what know what route you want me to take. And that morning, I took, in fact, Jim Cunningham was driving me to work that morning. My life had been threatened a few times then, and they had the driver pick me up. So I was driving. I felt led to go down Calumet Street that morning. Went down Calumet Street, 12 below zero. Got up here on the corner of Conkey and Calumet, right near Conkey and Calumet, and saw a lady stop. Car wouldn't start, I guess. And so I got out, and she rolled the window down. I said, ma'am, you having trouble with your car? And she said some little remark like, no, ma'am, no, sir, I just like to sit here, you know. And in the middle of the street, 12 below zero. And she didn't say exactly that, but something equally as cute. And so I said, ma'am, I'm pastor of First Baptist Church, Hammond. Showed her my driver's license. And she said, I just don't know what's wrong with it. And I said, you mind if we drive you to work? Where do you work? She said, I teach over here at Maywood School. I said, Jim, I said, let's take her to Maywood School. And we took her to Maywood School. And she said, well, how about my car? I said, we'll find out what's wrong with it. Took it up and found out it needed a battery. It cost $70. So happened I had $70. And I bought a new battery, put it in the car, and took it up to school. Look, folks, if you're going to run out, if you're going to have a dead battery, let me know where you're going to be parked at 7:15 in the morning. I won't go the other way. I was driving to work one morning, and a woman was beating a child right down here on Calumet Street with a stick, big old stick. I stopped the car. I said, ma'am, you shouldn't beat that child with a stick. She quit. Took off after me with a stick. I said, go ahead and beat the child. But anyway, I got in the car and felt led to leave. I could stand here and tell you story after story of things that have happened. People, folks whose paths I've crossed just coming to work in the morning. I could take the rest of the day and tell you nothing but stories of people I've crossed, paths I've crossed at O'Hare Airport. Well, you say nothing like that ever happens to me. Well, that's because you wouldn't do anything if it did. God knows where the people are who have need, and God knows who will do it. And Jesus is saying here, what I want is not somebody sitting there in Jerusalem waiting for the Passion Week and waiting for Calvary and waiting for the resurrection and the big events of life. I want some people to go to Jerusalem and do the mundane things of life and show them real New Testament Christianity. That's what he's saying. He's saying, I've taught you what to do. Now go there and do it. He hasn't come to deliver you yet. He'll come. But until it comes, you keep on working. Lady, your husband's been gone to heaven now a few months. And you just don't know how you're going to make it. You say, preacher, what can I do? obey what's in the book. Help everybody you come whose path you come across. That's what you do. And you do it whether you hurt or don't hurt. But you say, preacher, I came to Hal Anderson College and I've trained for 4, 5, or 6 years to do something for God, and all of my classmates have gone out and they have jobs now, and I've been waiting around here a year or two. Well, in the first place, I wouldn't wait around here a year or two. I'd get me a soapbox and a vacant lot and start me a church before 2 years passed, I'll guarantee you. What'll I do? I don't know what you do. You do what God said to do. You be a good citizen, good husband, good father, good Christian. Pay your debts. Be kind to everybody. Help everybody whose path you cross. It's not very spectacular, is it? No, but that's the way we're going to help this world if we ever get her helped. This world needs a generation of Christian people who live what's written here. And God doesn't tell people who don't do what He's already written big orders to do things that He hasn't written. God doesn't tell you the big order till you obey the little orders. Why should God trust you with a big command when you won't obey a little command? A fellow came to see me not long ago, one of our graduates, driving a big car, $4,000, $5,000 in debt, or more than that, $7,000, $8,000 in debt, bought a brand new spanking new car. And I said, I just don't understand why God hadn't given me a place to serve yet. I found out the guy was a foreign debt. Don't get a bicycle instead of a car and pay all those debts with you, which you're making your car payment with. We need some Christian people that do the mundane things and to whom the smallest task is as important as the big task. And Jesus said, you go to Jerusalem. I'm not coming yet. My time has not yet come. Your time has always come. You go to Jerusalem. And while you waiting on me to get there with the whole picture, let's see the whole picture, you just that one little picture. That one little picture. That man did not know that night when he got out of his house to go out in the night air. That deacon did not know who the person was whose car he was fixing. He just knew there was somebody who had a car that was broken down who needed help. And he said, he's crossed my path. I'll help him. He didn't say, Lord, let me see how this is going to work out. Is this person going to have a soul winner come by someday so they can get him saved, so he can be saved? And is that what... You don't need to know that. You just help the guy that's got a bad trouble in his car. That's all you do. You have burdens this morning? Heartaches? Of course you do. You say, preacher, what am I going to do? Do what he's told you to do and help everybody who's passed your cross. That's what he said. I may never see the big picture. I may never see the victory. And I may never see the next orders. But I love him. And he knows that. And I have plenty to do. Even if he never comes. There's some things in my life and some things in your life that you can't understand. There's some things that I face every day of my life and every moment of my life, and some things that you face every moment of your life we cannot understand. To be quite frank with you, had I been God, I would not have let them happen. But I'm not God. But I trust Him. And I love Him with all of my heart. And you know I do. And so, if I never find out why, I've still got a job to do. And if you never find out why, you've still got plenty to do. If you never find out why, and if I never found out why, there's still folks need our help. Many a time I've gone to O'Hara Field. And I'll be honest with you, I did not want to go. And many a time, I sat out there at O'Hara Field waiting for my plane, wishing I had somebody that could understand. Wishing I had somebody who pastored a church this size I could talk with. But why sit there and nurse my wounds? There are people I cross paths, I cross out there, who need help. Just the other day, sitting out at O'Hare Field, saw a little lady, about 30 years old. She had her handkerchief out and had her head like that. Her head was trembling, shaking like that. And I walked over and I said, "Ma'am, you don't know me, and please don't think I'm trying to be unethical. But I said, I'm a Baptist preacher, and you must have a burden. What is your burden? If you'd like me to share it with you, I'd be glad to. You share it with me, I'd be glad for you to." She looked up and she said, "Reverend," she said, "I just got a call a while ago that my dad is dying. And I rushed to the airport to get there before he died. I just called a minute ago to see how he's doing. They told me I'm not going to make it. He just died." And I took my Bible out and I read to her, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And I read to her, "He that dwelleth in a secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And the sweet thing about it was, when I got through, I went back to get my own burden and couldn't find it. It was gone. It was gone. I wish this morning I could tell you, this afternoon the Lord's going to come with the victory. I can't tell you that. I can tell you he's going to come, but I can't tell you when. I wish I could tell you that the problem's going to be solved this week. I can't tell you that. I don't know when he's going to come. I don't know when he's going to deliver you. I don't know. But I know what. I know what will help you. While you're waiting, do what he said. Just do what he said. Well, let's see what he said. Just turn it over here. Just see what he said here. He said that you may approve things which are excellent. Be sincere. Be filled with the fruits of righteousness. I just picked this out. I didn't have a plan. There's all kinds of instructions here. Be ye followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ hath loved us. Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness should be not known among you. You've got a book full of instructions and a whole world that's needy. So until it comes, until the deliverance comes, the victory comes, the solution comes, the burden is lifted, just do what he said to. And do what's the next task before you. Is it dusting the furniture? Is it putting the rivet inside of a wing section? Is it stocking a grocery store with canned goods? What is it? Is it changing a baby's diaper? Is it cooking a meal for a family? Whatever it is. And the person whose path you cross who needs your help, help them. I'll close with this. I always thought when a guy got old, he became beloved. I always thought when a preacher got old, he wouldn't have any battles to fight. I always thought when a preacher got old, everybody loves old people. I guess I'm just not old enough yet. The other day I told the Lord, I said, "I'm 60, I've been preaching 40 years, over 40 years now. And I don't guess the burden's ever going to stop, the battle's ever going to cease." And while I was sitting there, sort of whining to the Lord, saying, "Lord, I thought maybe it'd be sometime in my life when wouldn't be quite as hard as other times," I was stumbling through the Bible. Hadn't seen the verse in years. To look, to notice it. And look down there and flashing on and off was the writer of Ecclesiastes who said, there's no discharge from this war. No discharge. If the discharge never comes, if the battle is never won, if the burden is never lifted, the heart never feels light again. I just want to do what he told me to do. That's all. And I want to help the next person whose path I cross. I yield myself to the Holy Spirit today. And I pray you'd help me to cross the path of those whom Jesus would help if he walked in my shoes. Father, bless the message.